Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set, pop!
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe!
It's comeback week!
Yay!
Yes, we are so excited for Comeback. The album is going to come out at 11 p.m. our time here in Kansas City on Thursday evening, and we are getting together immediately for it. We're probably going to pull an all-nighter together here at Bethany's house, and we cannot wait to dig into it.
Yeah, we're going to get into research like right away, so be anticipating multiple weeks in a row of episodes.
Yeah.
We're for sure going to cover it as fast as we can. In today's episode, today, we're just going to try to finish up with all the comeback, you know, proof promos that have been going on.
Yeah. But rest assured that we will be talking about everything today. We're just going to talk about what we have so far because it's Monday right now when we're recording.
Yeah.
But on that note, welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. So like I was saying, today, we're going to hang out for about an hour and just kind of finish up a lot of the proof comeback that's been going on, but we're also going to touch on topics like Festa and the White House
because
that's been happening all the same time.
Right.
It's been a lot.
But before we get into today's episode too much, we want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to have access to our Google Docs or our monthly Iconic Hangouts or our sound checks, then you can do that by donating to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbts. Podcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes, but really any type of support is super appreciated.
Yeah.
Thank you all for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Iconics. So it's Pride Month, this month of June, so we have chosen to support GLAAD, which is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Its mission is to amplify the voice of LGBT community by empowering real people to share their stories, holding the media accountable for the words and images they present, and helping grassroots organizations communicate effectively. By ensuring that the stories of LGBT people are heard through the media, GLAAD promotes understanding, increases acceptance, and advances equality. Because of GLAAD's work, LGBT stories and issues are covered in national and local news publications, in film, and on television. We know that there are so many amazing charities to support during the month of June to support for Pride Month. We've previously asked you guys to support the Trevor Project, and there's just a lot of really wonderful organizations out there. But this month, we particularly liked how GLAAD works in media and works in representation, and we are always advocating for more representation.
Yeah.
So you can donate by clicking the link in the description.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into the remainder of this proof comeback.
Yes.
So where we left off last time before I had left for Greece, we were just starting to get the proof of inspirations. So we had previously spoke about Taeyang's proof of inspiration on the last episode. But since then, we have gotten all of the rest of the members. So what was so interesting is with the releases of their proof of inspirations, they actually went in reverse debut announcement order, mm-hmm. which we just thought was really unique. There's a lot of parallels with how they're releasing content, with how they release content with their debut.
Yeah.
Just super cool with it being an anthology, just seeing all the parallels with debut.
Yeah, all the thought that went into their planning of releases, I think, is really mm-hmm. interesting.
So after Taeyang, we ended up getting Jin's proof of inspiration. So he talked about his songs, Moon and Jamae Vu. Those were the two songs that he picked for the anthology. So he ended up saying that Moon is his connection to ARMY, cannot be separated, just like the Earth and the Moon. And now he feels that him and ARMY have assembled into one. Mm-hmm. And then for Jamae Vu, he said it's a song that really gets you through the tough times. Yeah. And that was his reason for picking these two songs. And again, we got photos. A lot of the photos are from like Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. It's really just a beautiful, you know, clip, short clip that they had put together for these proof of inspirations.
Yeah. I love the visuals that go along with each one of their proof of inspirations. They kind of go along with what they're saying, but they're, you know, kind of all these little unseen shots of mm-hmm. different, you know, members and aspects of BTS. Mm-hmm. So it's very cool to see that go along with their words and their reasoning. The next one that we got was Jimin, and Jimin, his inclusions on the album were Filter and Friends. And so he was talking about how Filter shows many different sides of himself, and that he specifically related himself to like a metaphor using color, saying that he has been colorless in the past, but he has so many different colors to share, and that he wants to share those with ARMY. And then Friends is that he would say that his friends, including like BTS, are always there to help him bring out his true essence and bring out all of his colors. So I just thought that it was a really beautiful significance behind his two choices.
Yeah, I love how their two choices end up like playing off of each other too. When Jimin said that he still has many different colors to share, mm-hmm. it's like, I feel like we've seen so many different, yeah. like all the duality components of mm-hmm. Jimin, like so many different sides to him, and he still has more. Like, how much more there can there be? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm. So for Jungkook, he chose Euphoria and Dimple. So for Euphoria, he said that singing and dancing with his members and with ARMY is what makes him the happiest. And for Dimple, he really enjoys seeing the smiles of his members and of ARMY in the crowd, particularly when he is dancing and performing with his members. Mm-hmm. It was so sweet because in his clips, you got to see the smiles of each member, mm-hmm. like just close-up shots of every one of their smiles.
Yeah.
I thought that was really sweet. And it included Jungkook's smile too. And you yeah. could see up close his lip ring, you know.
I loved it.
Yes.
I also loved in his that you could see like clips of ARMY of the crowd. Imagine being one of the ARMY and like one of these
those
photos,
shots?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And now you're in like Jungkook's proof of inspiration forever. Like,
right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. incredible. So the next one that was released was RM, and he included Persona and Stay. His reasoning for Persona was that he still has many different sides of himself, but now, especially in the years since he's written Persona, he's realized that like all of those different sides of himself are him, and he can just combine them into that one. They're all him. And then Stay, his thought behind it is that ARMY and members have always stayed by him no matter which self he was or felt like. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was beautiful.
It really is beautiful for the Stay, mm-hmm. his reasoning for Stay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also knowing that he's had personal growth on the topic of Persona since he first put it out.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
With Persona, how it talks just about how he has all these different sides is really confusing to know, like, which one am I? Mm-hmm. And then coming to the conclusion that he can be all at once.
Yeah.
Like he can be many different versions of himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Suga's was released. Suga ended up picking Seesaw in Cypher Part 3. And I particularly loved his reasoning for picking these two songs because he doesn't really talk about the meaning of the songs that much. He really wanted this to be showing BTS's musical spectrum. and that he chose two songs that are really polar opposite. You know, Seesaw is much more calmer, and that Cypher Part 3 is much more energetic and intense. So really just showing that, you know, diversity in BTS's discography. So love that he picked those two songs.
Yeah, I love that that's his reasoning, because that's what we were particularly hoping for with Proof, is that, wow, we get to see such a range of their discography and of their music style. And that was his, you know, concept.
His concept. Yeah.
For J-Hope, he chose Ego and Her, saying that Her is essentially a love song, but his view of it changed much to ARMY's interpretation when he realized that ARMY was relating a lot of Her's lyrics to having to change oneself for quote unquote Her. And so he said that there's many sides of himself that he doesn't like to show, but through, you know, these two songs, Ego and Her, he accepts all of himself, and that's just part of his ego. So I thought, I mean, he was really well thought out with both of his explanations, and really tied both of them together to like his core sense of self, which I found super interesting.
Yeah, his ego. That's my ego.
That's my ego. Yeah.
Yeah. Both are outro songs too.
Yeah.
Just found that interesting.
Yeah.
He did two outro songs. Yeah.
Love that.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about these concept photos. Ooh, this all happened while I was in Greece.
I know,
you know,
it was
like
so hard.
Every moment I could connect to Wi-Fi, I was trying at random restaurants, like on the beach. Like, does the beach have Wi-Fi? So I can see these concept photos.
Yeah.
So they ended up releasing two versions for their concept photos. They released Proof, and then they also released Door. Mm-hmm. And they had multiple days with like different different versions of those versions too.
Right.
So we really got a collection of them. So let's go ahead and start with the Proof version and the first day of photos that we ended up getting. So these were the photos where we had them with these shields back behind them, and we could see bullets being shot at them. And, you know, the shield also is like a massive target. It looks like a target. Which is also what the concept map was, which we didn't really know. We had speculated the concept map a lot. We're like, what is this? Kind of looks like a record, kind of looks like a target shield. So we weren't too far off. But you can see each member has a different shield behind them, like in the way that it's damaged. Mm-hmm. They're all damaged differently.
Mm-hmm.
But all of them, you can see dents. You can see the bullets ricocheting off of it. Super interesting. We really just want to talk about, well, not just about like how fantastic they all look, but kind of just like the placement of the bullet holes.
Yeah.
Some of them have cracks and gashes, just like the amount of dents that they have, and just kind of like the symbolism going on here.
Yeah. So let's talk about Namjoon's. Mm-hmm. So his has like, you know, a lot of bullet hole dents just all over, you know,
all over,
pretty much sprayed around the entire thing. And a lot of ARMYs were saying, I mean, we didn't go and individually count, but a lot of people were saying that he had the most. It definitely looks like he has a considerable amount. And what we kind of interpreted his as is that, especially if he's having the most, is that he's the leader of the group and he's the most front facing when they go to do interviews, or like when they go to the States and they have English interviews. He's definitely, it's mostly on his shoulders there. And so also being in that role, he can take a lot of the hate,
right?
And he can shoulder a lot of that hate just because he has a lot more of the attention. That's kind of what,
I mean, he's the front man of the group,
right?
Yeah. And but also he's also one of the main lyricists and producers, so if there's any criticism for the rap or criticism for the writing and production of the song, he's getting a lot of the hate for that too. He's getting a lot of the criticism.
His expression is pretty blank though, and I feel like we see all of the members, their expressions are very blank. They're not necessarily, some of them have a little bit more emotion depending on who they are or what their pose is, but a lot of them aren't like giving a lot of like, it's not like they're frustrated or angry or like, you know, anything like that. It's kind of like he's standing up there, and I don't want to say thoughtlessly, but just kind of like
he's just looking off in the distance almost. Yeah They all look very powerful though. These look like power stances
in front of this target.
Yeah And just kind of overarching theme before we get into like each and every member, you know, we really think that, I mean, with it being Proof and Bulletproof and all of that, we do think that this is just like all the hate that they're getting,
right?
But they're still standing, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. they still look strong.
They're standing there bulletproof.
Bulletproof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he looks unbothered.
He does look unbothered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for Yoongi, he has a fair amount of dents too in his shield. But what is so interesting about his is most of his are like up towards the top of his shield. So the bottom part has less. Like mm-hmm. it's all like right around his head and his face. He's kind of up there with Namjoon in terms of quantity mm-hmm. of these dents. He has quite a few.
Yeah. It's interesting that his are all localized towards his head, though. He also has a couple really big ones over his shoulder, and I can't help but to think about, like, his shoulder pain and, like, mm-hmm. surgery that he went through
yeah.
as, like, something that affected him throughout this career.
Yeah.
I do think that Yoongi is someone who's really thoughtful about the hate that they've gotten, like he always has been, and he's expressed that through like his various mixtapes or, you know, like in his verses and diss tracks or whatever mm-hmm. and so maybe that's like a reason why the bullets are more localized towards his head. Yeah,
I could see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really great point.
Or it's affected his mental health in that way too, and that so could that could be
like mm-hmm. his mental health mm-hmm. I was thinking about that too
mm-hmm. yeah
yeah. He is looking directly at the camera, full forehead. He looks stunning, like gloss. He just
really radiant. Like gloss. Throwback to his first rap name ever, if you didn't know. But yeah. I love that he's staring right at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
That's
like straight into it.
He's facing it.
Head on.
Right there. Head on.
Yep.
Which he's always done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Jen, he is looking off into the distance, but oh my gosh, he is so stunning. This photo of
ridiculous.
Jin really has wrecked me. I'm like, yeah. All right, we're bringing it back to Jin. All right, creeping up the bias list.
Gorgeous.
Okay. Stunning, really stunning. He's got like this really elegant, beautiful necklace on, this like chain necklace with like multiple layers.
It's just
to
sparkling
it.
So much.
Yeah. And his hand is kind of up. He's looking off in the distance. He really looks regal.
Mm-hmm.
But he does not have nearly as many bullet dents in his shield. And the majority of them are like pretty far out away from him.
Yeah.
But he definitely has some of that. I just can't get over how stunning
gorgeous
he looks.
He is
gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
It's interesting that he really doesn't have too many, though, like especially coming off of the first two that we saw, the lack of bullets and dents that he has stands out. But I also think that Jin has always been like kind of a lighthearted, like let stuff roll off his back kind of guy. He doesn't take himself too seriously.
Yeah.
So
I
wonder
he's very likable.
Yeah.
He's very likable.
And he's also gone viral so many times for like being so handsome.
He's so handsome.
Like,
yeah.
you know, car door guy or whatever. Mm-hmm. So maybe like either he hasn't gotten as much hate or he hasn't felt the effects of the hate as much because he's just a very likable and doesn't let stuff get to him too much. He doesn't
yeah.
really let other people affect his decisions or how he feels about himself.
Right. And we're not saying that he hasn't had his fair share of
right.
criticism. And yeah,
because he has.
He definitely
yeah.
has. He's had a lot of hate in the past,
but we kind of feel like these, like the damage that's done to these targets are representative of what the members themselves feels like they have gotten.
I feel like they had to have had a say in this,
yeah.
you know?
It can't just be random.
It's not random.
No.
There's no way it's random. When I saw Namjoon's and Jimin's, I was like, yeah,
yeah.
They're saying something here.
Right. So let's talk about Hoseok. Hobi, his is
fighting
so
off the,
interesting.
You can go ahead.
I've
and
said
go.
Interesting like 800 times, so I'm going to stop saying that now.
Okay.
But
I just wanted to say, like, you know, we're talking about like the position and what they're looking at.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, Hobie's over here, like fighting off the bullets with seduction.
I
like,
know,
he's
right?
The only one who looks so sexy because he's like literally wiping his lip with his thumb, like
yeah.
staring right into the camera so
yeah.
sexily.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's
what the fuck?
Fighting off the hate with like seduction.
Right. I mean, really.
Sorry.
Full forehead. He has this like silver platinum hair, wiping his lip with his thumb,
yeah,
way too sexy.
And it's kind of laylacky. Like it has
yeah.
a little bit of a purplish, pinkish
mm-hmm.
tint.
I agree.
Yeah. Oh yeah. man. Hoseok, sorry. Okay. Mm-mm.
I mean, don't be sorry.
Let's get into the shield.
That's all we need
like,
to talk about.
The
no,
pose
just kidding.
And I mean, he just looks so hot.
I mean, his is, I think he looks so hot because his is the power pose.
It's,
like
yeah.
this is such a power pose, like super unbothered.
Oh yeah.
And He has a lot of like centralized bullet holes, like only a couple like dents that are around the edge. But something that Bethany, you noticed in particular was instead of a lot of dents from bullets, he has a lot of cracks, like impacts and cracks in the shield.
Like shattering cracks on the shield.
Right, but yeah. It didn't actually dent it. Mm-hmm. So you had a really interesting theory about that. Oh and my God, I need to stop saying interesting.
You're fine. You're fine. It is though. What I really thought about with the shattering, because it's really not noticeable, it wasn't until we went into research that I was like, wow, he doesn't, you know, he's got dents, but he has these like shattering effects, you know, this cracking on it. And it makes me think of just how J-Hope has always said that he has to be like, you know, he's the hope of the group. That's his whole, you know, what he presents himself as. And so he feels like he can't really ever be down or show or outwardly show that he's being affected, you know, or that he's upset or, you know, going through a tough time or anything like that, because he's always this ray of sunshine. And that's, you know, that comes with a lot of weight. So I almost feel like that shattering and that cracking is that he doesn't show it as much. You know, he, you know, is affected and hurt by either like hate comments or any kind of backlash that he gets directly from BTS or as a BTS member. But it just doesn't show.
Yeah.
Because he hides it. And he even talked about that in his proof of inspiration, saying that, you know, he has all these, you know, different sides to himself and that he just sometimes feels like he can't show truly how he's feeling because he's always this happy sunshine, which he is, you know, but that's how I interpreted the cracking versus like the visual dent
and
in
it's
the
like,
shield.
It's still there. Mm-hmm. It's still left an effect on him. But you don't notice it until you take a closer look.
Until you take a closer look. Yeah.
Oh, Hobie.
No, Jose, we love you.
Oh, love him so much. Uh-huh. Okay, so let's talk about probably the most heartbreaking one.
This is heartbreaking.
Which is Jimin's.
Yeah.
And particularly going off of what you were saying with J-Hope about how his is like representing, you know, like his hate that he shows particularly. Not what he feels, but what he shows. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going along that same process, like this is the hate that Jimin feels and what he feels like he shows, you know, that he shows on him or that he carries with him. And his target has like a huge gash in it, like someone took like a knife and ripped through it.
It like, looks like it's fully ripped
like
through.
I mean it's mangled, it's gnarled, and then in like the top like left side of it, it has like this big dent, like something hit it really hard from that side. On top of that, it's just littered with bullet dents, you know, just anywhere all over it. But these gashes in particular were super striking. And I just, for me, it makes me think about how hard he is on himself and how like I don't even know if like he sees too many hate comments, but if he sees them, it affects him so deeply and he feels horrible that he like hasn't lived up to X, Y, and Z standards or that he wasn't good enough or whatever. Like he takes it and he blames it on himself and internalizes it so much.
Baby.
Instead of thinking like, okay, these people, their opinion isn't valid or whatever. Mm-hmm. He takes it on and I think like it's really, really hard for him to let go of it.
Yeah.
And that's what those gashes make me think of.
He's really come a long way since then, but just throughout BTS's career he really has gotten so much hate, and you know, I just feel for him, and he's so hard on himself, like you were saying. So when I was in Greece and I saw Jimin's, like I couldn't help but like I immediately wanted to talk to you about Jimin's because it's heartbreaking to look at, because of that massive gash on the side and that massive dent too in the top left. But he himself has never looked more ethereal. Him in this particular photo, he has a similar expression to Namjoon, where he's kind of looking off into the distance. But the way that he's standing looks so powerful. And like, you know, we've always said that Jimin kind of like looks a little unapproachable, you know, just because he's so handsome and sexy. And you see him here and he just has never looked more beautiful. I'm like, man, with these concept photos, I just haven't been so drawn and wrecked by Jimin as I am right now. Like he just looks amazing.
He looks perfect. Perfect. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I totally agree with you. He has that same like unbothered look here. Like that's a really powerful
his
look.
His hands
in
are in
these.
His pockets.
His hands are in his pockets. Nonchalant, unbothered, like unaffected, standing in front of it. Like super powerful message to that bulletproof concept.
Yeah,
but he just looks stunning. When I saw this picture when we got these the first day, immediately set it as my phone background.
He's
I was
so
like
beautiful.
Oh my god, he's so beautiful. Yeah,
I might set it as my phone background. I love it so much.
I changed it already to the door to the day two proof actually.
Oh, did you?
Because it fit better orientation wise. But I think I'm gonna find a wallpaper background with this photo just so it fits better because
it's powerful. It's a powerful photo.
It really is.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So for Taeyang, he has a decent, he's kind of like in the middle ground.
I'm sorry, but Taeyang has never looked more handsome. He looks so fucking handsome in this.
I can't even discuss Taeyang.
Why? I'm just the black hair tussled, the jawline. Oh my God.
I've just been mad at Taeyang forever. Like since like Dynamite, I've just kind of been like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
No, yeah, he's never looked more handsome. Full forehead. He's looking off in the distance too, and you know, again, hands in the pocket, kind of this nonchalant. But also, he looks to me, he looks a little threatening. Like I wouldn't approach it. I'm like, you know, his eyes
are really dark.
Yeah,
in
they
this
look dark.
Shot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he's kind of in the middle ground with the bullets. A lot of them are again a little bit towards the top of the upper half of the shield. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to tell. But nothing like what you see with Yoongi and Namjoon.
Yeah.
Again, just stunning. He looks great.
I feel like he looks really expensive.
Yeah,
like,
he does. Ugh, so high. Yeah. The deep neck, coat that he's got on.
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, and then for Jungkook.
Yeah, let's talk about Jungkook.
Again, he's similar to Taeyang, kind of like in the middle ground of like the amount of dense hit that he has. Mm-hmm. But he's looking directly at the camera. He has got this massive chain necklace on. Like, I want to know how much that necklace costs because it could not. It has to be so expensive.
Oh, but this
is glistening.
He's this ultimate bad boy right here. Like, I'm dying.
The lip piercing, the eyebrow piercing
the head, like, slightly cocked back.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. The full forehead, Jungkook. Please give us a break.
His pants, his thighs have zippers.
Yeah.
Like,
which you can really
zippers.
See in the full, like, OT7 shot for the proof concept where they're in front of, like, the safe. Mm-hmm. You can see he has zippers on his inner thigh.
I'm just kind of noticing this now as we're looking at the photos, but like they all have a pretty bright spotlight on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which kind of makes me think of them just being in the spotlight.
Yeah.
The kind of the hate and the bullets you have to take being so much in the spotlight.
So true. Wow. Yeah, these first day one concept photos for proof that we got, I think we were both really blown away by them.
Yeah.
And we feel like they had a lot of meaning
there.
The
symbolism in it.
The symbolism is deep.
I feel like all of, like, the amount of bullet holes, the location, all of it had a lot of significance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cracking on Hoseok.
The cracking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that we could see the bullets actually ricocheting off, like this is not something, it would be totally different, I feel, if it was just the damaged target. Like,
right.
But the fact that you still actively see the bullets is like, okay, this is like something still going on actively right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still bulletproof, though.
Still bulletproof.
Yeah.
All standing there.
And I just want to quickly talk about the group shot of them standing all in front of a safe. Looks like a safe, and you can see the bullet dents in the safe too, but all of them are lined up in front of it, and Jungkook even has his arms crossed over his waist, and it looks like they're protecting, I don't know why, but I think of like their discography. I don't know, like, if that's
like
what's
behind
in the
safe. The
door, what's in the safe, but whatever it is, like if it's their own, you know, themselves that they're protecting, you know, their inner selves that they're protecting, but it looks like there ain't no way you're breaking through there. Like, so bulletproof, so strong. They all, like, these power poses and seeing them all together. It's just such a powerful message. I did not expect this from concept photos.
No.
Like, damn, I get it.
But it works so well.
It does.
Yeah. It fits so well with the overall concept. Like, we didn't hypothesize too much about what proof would look like, but man, this is like such a great concept for proof.
Right, right.
The next day that we got some proof photos, we were getting like headshots of them. So more close up, like almost beauty shots of them. But what was interesting is that they're in the crosshairs of like the sight of a gun. And there's two different crosshair colors that we see. We see red and green. And the Machne Lion got the red crosshairs and the Young Lion are all in green crosshairs. Uh-huh. And it feels significant, like, that they're split up, divided, like, between Machne and Young Lion, between the red and the green.
Like, did it just fall that way?
Or did it just fall?
But how coincidental for it being Machne's and Young's?
And I just don't feel like they would just coincidence yeah. decide that, you know? So I don't know what the significance is yet, but I think that once we get into more stuff or see, like, a music video or something, maybe we'll see some significance behind that.
Yeah.
No idea, though.
But in all these shots, you see this, like, it looks like bathroom tiling that's behind them. Some armies were talking about, like, the bathroom that we see in Run. Because we do have, like, some throwback to The Most Beautiful Moment. So it could be that. I really don't know. But having that pretty bare background brings so much focus to their faces. Like you were saying, these are, like, glamour beauty shots of just, like, them up close. Get to see a lot of their visuals and just like the, my gosh, like all the ice that they have on, like Jimin. Jimin has so many big, fat, like glistening diamonds. They look like diamonds. I really don't know what jewels they are, but I mean, just stunning. But again, in the crosshairs of these, you know, like they're getting shot at.
Or they're being aimed at. At the very least, they're targets here. They're targets in these photos. And people who were connecting it, I thought it was interesting to connect it to the Run bathroom because it is like the white tile with black grout type of thing. So I don't think it's exactly the same, but if it is supposed to harken back to that, and like yet to come is The Most Beautiful Moment in Life, like we have a lot of parallels with Age by Age, like do these concept photos represent the crosshairs that they were in, particularly during those eras,
right?
Because Age by Age was such a turning point for BTS.
It was a telling moment for them.
It was a time where they really had to prove themselves. They were working the hardest they had ever worked, but it was also a time where they for the first time were really blowing up in popularity and like getting awards and getting accolades and getting noticed. And it was a lot of pressure, you know? It's what makes me think of. If it is supposed to hearken to that.
I hope it does. I hope that's what it is hearkening to. I also just noticed that in every single one of these shots, their expressions, they all look very apathetic. Almost like they're used to it, like this again, or, you know, like just no real.
Some of them are like staring it down, like Taeyong, the crosshair is almost right on his eye. Namjoon, it's right on his eye. Hobie, it's almost right there. But like Taeyong and Namjoon are almost looking right at where it would be coming from.
Taeyong looks so threatening. Like it's almost
With the chin up.
With the chin up and, you know, with the shield behind him too. He, out of all the members, I felt like he's the one who's just like, bring it. He's ready to take it on. But a lot of them really do look just
Yoongi's kind of looking right at it, like right down the scope too. I just, because it's on my mind right now, I do want to comment on just the concept of bullets and guns and everything right now, because somebody on Instagram had DM'd us about it, just that they had been feeling, just as an American, really uncomfortable and almost like triggered by this photo shoot and these concept photos because of all of the gun violence that not only happens in America, but has been happening recently, like school shootings.
Now more than ever.
I mean, just terrible. So I want to say that I think it's really okay if you are feeling triggered by that and not wanting to like look at these photos or pick up the concept photo book when you buy it or whatever, because I don't think that BTS are necessarily in tune with what's going on here in America with gun violence. And it's not their responsibility to be. I understand why anyone is triggered by it. Like, I'm a teacher, and so hearing about school shootings in particular is really, really hard. I think that I'm not going to like hold that against them or blame them for this iconography of like bullets or bulletproof. Like, I don't think they're glorifying it.
I don't think they're glorifying it.
This is something that's like very ingrained in their concept from their debut.
It's a part of their name.
You know, I mean, they're called Bulletproof Boy Scouts is like their name in Korean. So I think that it's not timely for 2022 United States necessarily to have those visuals, but this is like them. Like, this is really them. This is not them trying to like...
They went with the symbolism of
right with the symbolism of what that is with them. Yeah,
so I get that. I'm glad that you brought that up
because
I've thought about it a little bit too. I mean, just especially with the news here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all you hear about, and it's really just a challenging time for so many people, and it's really sad what's going on in this country. So I get that. Yeah, being kind of triggered by this for sure.
Yeah.
But they also, I mean, think about how long ago they put this concept together. We almost feel like they had this anthology planned out prior to 2020, like that they potentially were thinking about releasing this even after their Map of the Soul 7.
Yeah.
You know, just to kind of wrap up and go into their next chapter after their, seventh year. So, I think that was important that you brought that up.
It's a hard topic. Mm-hmm. And I don't think BTS are responsible for solving America's problems or speaking to it or representing it. And so it's okay if you feel poorly about
especially
it.
Especially with like the being, the bullets.
Yeah.
Seeing the bullets. Well, how about we move on to Door then?
Let's
go to the Door version.
The lighter concept photos. Yeah, let's lighten it up a little bit.
We got dark and light all in one.
Yeah. I mean, really, I love that BTS are doing a dark and a light concept in one comeback. It's like everything we ever needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So getting into the Door, just overall, it's like this silk and sheer combination where we see BTS in these very nice, like pastel outfits, kind of like some of them have jackets or kind of like dusters, a lot of like sheer elements and silk elements, and a lot of white and light pink and light blue, which those are like HYYH colors.
Bitch. I hadn't even thought about that. The light pink and the light blue.
Uh-huh.
That is HYYH colors.
They also make me think of the silk photo shoots that they had for Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Do you remember those like silk outfits?
Yeah. I remember?
How
do
did
I
you
remember
forget?
That Min Yoongi performing in that silk suit? Yes, I do.
Fuck yeah, we do.
How could you forget?
That's what this makes us think of. Also, a lot of armies were connecting this photo shoot to one of their no concept photo shoots because in that photo shoot they were wearing a lot of light colors. It wasn't like really nice outfits like this.
It was mostly white.
But it was a lot of white, and then they had like sheer curtains like kind of draping and all around the set.
Which they have all this sheer, draping that they have in these photo shoots here. Mm-hmm. Very bright. Like they're in this white, almost natural lit room. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Very gorgeous.
So talk about glamour shots. Like we thought that the proof, the headshots were glamour shots there, but no. These day one Door, where it's just like the light background and the sheer drapes in the back, they are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Taeyang has this like silver flower that he's holding in his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, I just love that he made this decision.
Yeah. Again, his chin is tilted up. He's going with this pose a lot lately. He just has never looked more confident. He's always been confident. Mm-hmm. But, oh, man.
Oh, I should mention that we got full body shots here and also, like, head shots here. So
yeah, we got both.
We get both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Jimin, especially the one of him up close, I just think he looks so stunning.
So
the ones, so they have the like head-on shots. They all have like, it's pretty much like headshots where you can see the crack of a Door lighting their face.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The remainder, like what's around them, the lighting is pretty dark. And the only thing lighting up their face is that the crack from the Door, the light coming through the Door. And that particular shot of Jimin, I'm just like, man, he is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, I know we talk about it enough, but there's
We don't talk about it enough. Yeah.
I think that's what I meant.
Yeah.
But he's just so stunning. Like, I know that I don't feel like I can fully describe with words his beauty.
No.
I I'm just so wrecked right now by him with Proof that I'm really nervous about what's to come with like the music video and everything. He's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
He's so gorgeous.
I mean, you're preaching to the choir.
I know. Because,
you know, everybody knows I've been a Jimin bias since day one, but then I started double biasing with Namjoon. But right now, lately, it's been like Namjoon who? Like, I know he's looking fine as hell in these like concept photos also, but Jimin is killing me. He looks so stunning and perfect. And I mean, I feel like he's just expressing so much in these photos. I can't look away. Cannot look away. I really was interested because I think on our last episode, we were hypothesizing about these, like what door would be like, if they would be going through a door or how a door could be possibly included in the concept of these photos. And so to get the light kind of filtering through the crack in a door and to think about that along with the HYYH colors that we have in their outfits and the concept of yet to come, the most beautiful moment. It makes me hopeful to like, they're going through that door. What's yet to come?
Yeah.
What's, you know, like it feels very symbolic of the future.
Yeah. Like literally a door opening, you know,
a new door opening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very hopeful seeing them being in that dark room and seeing the light of the crack coming through a door being lit up like over their eye. I just love the symbolism that's going on with all these concept photos.
They see the future.
Yeah. I really think that it's symbolic of what's to come, what is yet to come. I really feel that with the door version. I really want to highlight Jungkook's hair. A lot of ARMYs are talking about his, you know, that really heavy
bang
that's going on, right? Because that is so debut Jungkook, you know, No More Dream Jungkook. He had that kind of hair. Also Permission to Dance, he had a similar hairstyle too.
Yeah.
So I really think that it's harkening back again to their debut and Jungkook with just this like really heavy bang. And
it's so good. It's so debut.
So debut, but just the Jungkook of today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he definitely did that on purpose. He was like, I want my debut hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hairstyle that he's had a lot over the years too. So it feels very him. It doesn't feel like 2013 Jungkook just stepped out for these concept photos. But I think it was an active choice to have this hairstyle for these photos.
In his shot too, he's got his hand on his face so you can see his like hand army tattoos.
Cute.
Yeah.
Precious.
Great.
Amazing. We're just scrolling through
photos.
Now.
Amazing concept photos. Yeah, we're just like looking at them, admiring them. Okay, moving on. So they ended up releasing this Proved concept photo short clip. And that was kind of unexpected. I don't think it was really on the Proved concept map at all.
I didn't even know about it until you told me.
Yeah. So they released it on Twitter. That's where I saw it. And it was really just like, they had two different kind of thematic songs that played along to just shots of them. It looked like the like additional concept photos that we'll get in the actual pamphlet, like whenever you end up getting your album, you know, all the photos inside. It looked like more of that.
Mm-hmm.
But what was so interesting that I saw a lot of discourse going on Twitter was about the crowns that are represented in the photos that we don't see in the concept photos that they released, but that were shown in the photo short clip that they put out.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice that all of the young members are wearing some form of crown jewelry. So Namjoon is the only one who actually has like a real crown that he wears on top of his head. And I saw a lot of ARMYs talking about just like the crown, you know, just as heavy as it is, like, you know, that weighs on you.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking about Namjoon being the leader of the group and how much that weighs on him, how heavy the crown is, weighs on your head.
Right.
And then I just, again, find it so interesting seeing the Youngs being separated from the Maknaes. I don't really feel that has been
a thing
with all of BTS's comebacks and all of their concept photos. Like, usually it's pretty random, but it's very divided with Young and Maknae. So I almost feel like the Youngs are holding a lot more responsibility, or like they're showing more of that with this comeback with Proof. Super interesting. It really reminds me a lot too of back when Map of the Soul 7 came out. There was like all this rumor going around about like this jewelry store having leaked creating crowns for BTS, which made us also think like, have they been planning Proof since Map of the Soul 7 back in 2020?
Yeah, like remember that Instagram post, and they even like tagged like BTS Big Hit Official in it or whatever, right. And everybody was like, what is this? And then it just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. It also really makes me think of Shadow, with Yoongi showing like the flashing crown drawings in Shadow.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about the crown images in Shadow, mm-hmm. but that's just even more of like evidence that they wanted to do this back then after Map of the Soul 7.
Or just foreshadowing.
Right.
Yeah, guess, which, you know.
Foreshadowing when, 2 years.
Why not? They could. They have.
No, I feel like that's stretching it more than saying this was supposed to happen back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, you know, it'd be great if that's what was supposed to be, you know?
What was to be next. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away 2 tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
The last kind of thing that I wanted to say about Proof right now is that BTS are going to be promoting Proof on Korean music shows, which is the first time that they've done anything like that in 2 years. They'll be on M Countdown, they'll be on Music Bank, and they'll be on KBS Inkigayo. So probably yet to come performances, maybe some other new songs.
Right.
Pretty excited about that.
I'm so excited about
stages?
It. Stages? I immediately thought of like my very first BTS comeback was mm-hmm. Love Yourself Her. And I was so new to the BTS, you know, fandom and everything that I just didn't know that those comeback stages were a thing.
We had no idea.
I had no idea. So whenever they released the album and the music video and then starting to get like these stages of DNA and Mic Drop, I love that Mic Drop mm-hmm. stage performance. I don't know if it was M Countdown or Music Bank, honestly, but I feel like it was one of those two.
Mm-hmm.
That soap transition, you know, back to back. I was like, oh my gosh, that hit me so hard. Mm-hmm. So to see after 2 years that they're going to be doing this again, I think, again, is hearkening back to how they debuted. They don't necessarily need to do these Korean music shows anymore. And from what I've heard, like, they really don't treat the artists all that well. That's just kind of what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's necessarily true. And that Yoongi has said it's a lot of work. But to see that they're going to work really hard to deliver these stages for us, and especially for, like, the Korean audience mm-hmm. is... awesome. Like, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it.
Really amazing, because something that we get with these stages is all different outfits for every single performance. Mm-hmm. And that's always like, oh, which is your favorite one? Oh, this one with such and such outfit, whatever. And they always do something like a little bit different, especially because they're wearing the different outfits or they'll have different hairstyles or whatever. It's just a treat. It's amazing. Yeah. And it's fun to see them win. And yeah, can't wait.
I also think it's just them going back to their roots, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a lot of their stages that they've done now, or like when they have their first live performance, has been like for Billboard.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I remember getting Black Swan on James Gordon or whatever. Now they're going to be delivering these live performances for the first time on Korean music shows.
Right. Impactful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely going back to their roots there.
All right. So in the midst of all of the Proof releases that have been going on, we've also been getting Festa, which it's so funny because I almost thought that we wouldn't be getting much Festa content this year just because of Proof happening at the same time. And we both were talking in a couple episodes back, like, how are they going to do Festa? Like, it's all happening right around Festa. Like, that was a real big question mark. And then they released this like Festa concept map, although it doesn't have any dates on it.
Right.
But they did release like a map essentially of like what to expect with their Festa for 2022.
Right. It's basically just like a list of what they're releasing.
List.
But yeah, like you said, no dates. And their tweets about them are pretty cryptic. For example, they use clock emojis to tease what time something is dropping. And sometimes they don't even really tell you what that thing is. It's just like, here's a tweet with like 4 different clock emojis and like 4 dates, you know? But that's been fun. It's been cool to like kind of discover what's happening. I don't know. I've been enjoying it so far.
I have too. Yeah. For like opening ceremony, they had like their family portraits that they released. So they ended up reenacting a lot of photos from their past. So cute, because we ended up getting a reenactment from Bon Voyage 2, yes. which you all know that's like my BB2 in Hawaii. I was like, no, they reenacted like the, you know, the shot that they had taken on the boat on one of the like sunset boat rides that mm-hmm. they went on. Like, yes.
Out of all photos to choose, you yes. know?
Yeah. 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 They ended up releasing, which I think has been the most, my favorite content so far for Festa has been the dance practices.
Oh, hell yeah.
They've released them on YouTube and they've released them in chronological order, starting from like as early as like 2014 videos, progressing to 2017. So we ended up getting We Are Bulletproof Part 2 with No More Dream. We got No Danger, Butterfly, Am I Wrong, Tomorrow, and Mic Drop, but it's like a moving version.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen, as far as I'm aware, we haven't seen these dance practices. Maybe some of them have been reposted, but like, I'm pretty sure I have not seen that Mic Drop moving version before. Mm-mm. Like when I saw that, I'm like, have to watch. I watched it for the first time with you, Kayla, actually, because I was like, we gotta watch this together.
Yeah. I know we haven't seen that Danger one because we would have remembered a dance practice with five out of the seven members in fucking shorts or right, Butterfly. Right. We would have remembered.
Like they're all in shorts except for like two of them.
Right. Oh God. Just destroy us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. This has been some of my favorite Festa content like ever, is getting these like old previously dance unreleased dance practices. And I also feel like it's very timely to be releasing these right now as they're in the process of coming back with Proof. It just all makes sense and goes together. And right. same thing with the, you know, like the family portraits of them kind of like redoing ones from the past. It goes along with what they're doing with Proof right now. So I think it ties together super well. I think Festa is complimenting this comeback in a really good way.
And right, because of all the throwback.
Right, yeah. And we were concerned, like, how are they going to fit all this in? What are they going to do? Whatever, but it's working very, very nicely.
It's a lot going on, though, with it's both so Festa and all this comeback content. It's like, oh, gosh.
Yeah. They
is this Festa related or is this Proof related?
Yeah. They also have released a 2021-22 selfie collection, which is just a great lookbook back through their year and just seeing them all and all of the selfies of them, super cute, and you know, like during behind the scenes of photo shoots or performances or music videos, whatever. It's a great
just
time.
Never before seen, yeah, you know, photos. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's gonna be a song for Army.
Yeah.
Too.
Really looking forward to that, wondering what it could be.
All right. Well, to kind of wrap this all up, we do want to talk about BTS speaking at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I was in Greece, so I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to be at the White House? Like, how do I watch this? So BTS spoke at the White House to discuss anti-Asian hate crimes, Asian inclusion and diversity for AANHPI Heritage Month.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just kind of quickly going to go over what each and every member said. So for BTS's remarks at the White House, this Namjoon ended up saying, "Thank you, Karen, for your kind words. And hi, we're BTS. And it is a great honor to be invited to the White House today to discuss important issues of anti-Asian hate crimes, Asian inclusion, and diversity."
Jin went on to say, "Today is the last day of AANHPI Heritage Month. We joined the White House to stand with the AANHPI community and to celebrate."
Jimin said, "We were devastated by the recent surge of hate crimes, including Asian American hate crimes. To put a stop on this and to support the cause, we'd like to take this opportunity to voice ourselves once again."
Hosok continued, "We are here today thanks to our army, our fans worldwide who have different nationalities and cultures and use different languages. We are truly and always grateful."
Jungkook said, "We still feel surprised that music created by South Korean artists reaches so many people around the world, transcending languages and cultural barriers. We believe music is always an amazing and wonderful unifier of all things."
Yoongi continued, "It's not wrong to be different. I think equality begins when we open up and embrace all of our differences."
And Taeyang spoke last, saying, "Everyone has their own history. We hope today is one step forward to respecting and understanding each and every one as a valuable person."
Wow. To be speaking at the White House mm-hmm. with an American president over a topic as important as this and as, you know, relevant as this right now. What a truly huge honor to be invited to speak and to, you know, I just I'm so proud of them. I really didn't expect this, and I was super surprised when it was announced and when they went and did it. I'm just super prideful in what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've told you, I feel that every waking moment of every day, I'm saying I'm so proud of BTS. Mm-hmm. And with moments like these, I think, how could I feel any more prouder than I already do? Yeah. When they continue to do really outstanding, you know, work and be, you know, doing the best that they can and what they can and speaking out and being invited to the White House to talk on such a topic as, you know, as this, just as, you know, I couldn't be any more proud. And I'm sure they're so proud of themselves too.
How many musicians get invited to speak on a, you know, very few. And I think, I could be totally wrong on this, but I feel like I saw a tweet that said BTS are the first boy group since like the Beatles to be asked to come to the White House.
Yeah.
So I just think that's so powerful.
The Beatles had gone to the White House.
Yeah, maybe I'm totally making that up right now.
But I mean, I know, you know.
Like, I know that really big musicians like Lady Gaga, who are activists for different things, have gone to the White House to speak on an activist behalf, but the number of musicians that go to do that is very small. And so for BTS to be included on that list, to be there like as activists and advocates and, you know, as a mouthpiece for, hey, this is something that should be addressed and we can all come together, is huge. I mean, they're clearly now being recognized by the American government as being influential in this way, in a positive way. I had friends who aren't even fans of BTS or know them much, like reaching out and being like, wow, like BTS were at the White House.
They were at the White House. Yeah. Like, yeah. I told my parents, I told my sisters, I told Corey's whole family in Greece. I was like, BTS are speaking at the White House, like, you know, just so proud. But yeah, there's a lot of people too who don't really follow BTS who are like, okay, hold up, they just spoke at the White House, like, what an honor. Really, what an honor. And they really showed that they were so grateful to have had that opportunity and to be invited. Just to cite ourselves, we did get all of that translation from Bora.
Of course.
But not only did they speak at the White House, they also sat down and spoke with President Biden in the Oval Office. So in our Google Doc, we have the whole video and conversation with President Biden linked if you want to go and watch it. But really, it was just so sweet to see them sit down with President Biden. He had played, I think he played Butter or Dynamite or something at the beginning. I think it was Dynamite, actually. And he's like, just to make you feel at home or whatever, kind of like as an icebreaker.
Right.
And then got more into like the heavy topics of just like what's happening here in the States in terms of, you know, Asian hate crimes that's been going on. So, again, just so proud. So grateful
to be able to have, like, I don't even care that it's Biden, but to be able to have a president's ear to talk about something, you know, and like, I just think that's so amazing.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. BTS.
Wow.
So proud of them.
I was landing in Newark as they were like, literally landing off my plane right like minutes before they spoke at the White House. I'm like, okay, I'm in Newark, so I'm like not that far away from them. Like, they're in DC.
You're like on the same coast as
I
them.
I literally texted you. I was like, I took a picture, you know, like on the flight where you can see where your plane is, like in destination, like it's like flying across like the map, like the world map.
Yeah.
I could see it. And I literally took a picture so that you could see DC and Newark. And I took a picture of it and I sent it to my sister. And I'm like, this is how close I am to BTS right now.
How does it feel again to be in the same time zone as them?
It's fantastic.
Just amazing. Like,
it's never better on the same soil. It's just, you know, armies, you get it.
Yeah,
get
everybody it. Gets it. So what I want to talk about too is after their visit to the White House, Jimin ended up posting on Weverse, and we feel like this post was kind of random. And he seemed like weirdly apologetic, which just makes me think of his proof concept photos with the shield and the gash in it. Like, he's always reprimanding himself when he doesn't need to be. And later on, after going back and rereading it, it doesn't seem like he's quite as apologetic as I originally felt, but still. So I want to read it for you. He says, "Armies, it's Jimin. Have you all been well? This time we've gone to America and have come back. You must already know what kind of event we participated in. I'm grateful and honored that there's many armies of various races, nationalities, and cultures, and that I was able to represent you all and participate in this event and raise my voice. However, I wondered if I, who had come to represent you all, was still too inexperienced. I feel apologetic for the times that I have worried you because of my inexperience. I will work hard to become a more mature me so that I don't worry you anymore in the future. You must have worried because I haven't come to visit you often these days, but I'll come visit you often. I always miss you, Army. So, like, the middle of that, where he's like, I wondered if I'm still too inexperienced to represent you all, and I felt apologetic because of that. Like, I don't think he did anything that made him seem inexperienced or unprofessional or immature. I thought he was wonderful at the White House. And so it just made me feel bad that he's maybe beating himself up over.
I think it's self-doubt.
Yeah.
I think it's self-doubt. And it, you know, to me, it shows that he's not taking it lightly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he feels a huge sense of responsibility to be speaking, you know, at the White House. I mean, yeah, I mean,
and to be representing these voices,
to be representing, you know, all of his members, mm-hmm. to be representing his own country, to mm-hmm. be representing an entire race.
Yeah.
Right. That's a lot of pressure. So I think the self-doubt comes from just like him thinking, who am I to, you know,
to be
speaking, and, you know,
yeah.
In his letter, he ended up saying, I feel apologetic for the times that I have worried you because of my inexperience. And I just don't know what specifically he's thinking about when he said that, because I don't feel that he's inexperienced mm-hmm. at all, you know? I don't know if that's his own self-doubt or if he's gotten a couple comments or something
mm-hmm.
from
whoever.
Whoever, but I just want him to know
that
I do not think that he's inexperienced. He has lived a life like three times the size of mine, if more than that, way more than that. I'm really like undermining it, but like he's not inexperienced, and I just feel that he's in a position to be able to speak.
Yeah. It's
on
not
the behalf
that you,
of others. Yeah.
It's not that you deserve to speak more than others. It's just that you have gotten to a position in life where you have the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I just want to like put it out into the universe. Like, Jimin, we're so proud of you.
Right.
And we love you and we support you. And you are amazing. And you always do such a great job.
He looked so
representing
poised.
Yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And representing.
And his delivery was perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Jimin, you're amazing. And BTS, truly amazing to have gone and spoke at the White House and had this another almost like ambassador kind of position that they're in here.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Even though we feel this way, like I think that it was clearly on his mind, and I appreciate, you know, his words that he spoke so honestly mm-hmm. with us. You know, mm-hmm. if it helped him, then, you know, I'm grateful that he put it out. But I want him to know too, like, we thought he really did a fantastic job, and there really isn't an apology needed.
No.
At all.
No. But yeah, it's sweet that it was on his mind and he expressed himself that way.
Yeah.
But we're getting to the end here of everything we need to talk about this week. But we know comeback is literally like hours from now. If you're listening to this episode when it's released, hours, or it's already been released. Oh my God. Are you screaming? Are you living? Like, what's going on?
Just hold on. We're listening too. We're going to come back with another episode.
Seriously. We are going to have episodes about Yet to Come and about the album itself. ASAP. Soon as we can talk about it, we are probably, as you're listening to this, ferociously researching together and having the best time. So we hope you have the best time listening to the album and the music videos. And we can't wait to talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go, we want to say a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially our VIP iconics, Eileen, Michelle, Deja, Meg, Rachel, Robin, Emily, Madison, and Holly.
Wow.
Thank you guys so much for all of your support.
Thank you so much.
We love you and appreciate you endlessly. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you've enjoyed any of our previous episodes, please let us know by writing a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It means so much and it really motivates us. And it lets other people know that, hey, this is something someone enjoys and they might read your review and decide to listen. So that's super helpful and just really amazing.
It. Yeah.
And of course, you can find links for all of our social medias. We're Standing BTS Pod everywhere. And links for supporting GLAAD, the charity of the month, in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.